I'm Kirby.
And I'm Sarah.
Welcome to Los Angeles!
Every week, we break down the most important beauty news and launches, interview your favorite beauty experts, influencers, and celebrity guests,
and review our favorite beauty products of the moment as your beauty editor BFFs from the beautiful and great city of Los Angeles.
Welcome, Glamgelinos!
We hope you stay a while.
Cute.
That's cute.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Press and go, just press and go.
That's my motto.
Life's a show when you just press and go.
No, literally, that's our 2024 motto.
Just press and go.
We don't have time for glue. We need to just press and go.
Stop with the glue. Glue is so 2002.
Wow.
We're talking about impress, press on falsies, and press on manicure. The Impress Press-On Falsies are these lashes that require zero glue. They have a variety of different styles. I personally am a fan of the natural and also the wispies. I like applying a few just to the corner of my eyes. And honestly, this is faster for me than applying mascara. It is so quick. I gotta also tell you the falsies, one thing I forgot to mention, they're the underlash. It's underneath the lash. So they look super, super realistic, no glue, just press and go.
Speaking of press and go, let's talk about the Impress No Glue Manis that I am obsessed with. If you follow me, you know that I am in my press-on era right now because I do not have time to sit in the chair at the salon like many of you for like 2 hours. And that's fine because thanks to Impress, you can have a super fabulous mani in seconds. You don't have to apply any glue. They come in all different styles, and the Impress manicure has a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days.
If you want to try the no glue mani or press on falsies from Impress that won't damage your nails or lashes, just go to Impress, that's impress.com/Los Angeles, and then use our code Los Angeles at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and press on falsies.
I just have to say, we started watching Yellow Jackets per your recommendation, and now I can't even like pee in the middle of the night because I'm too scared.
The most chaotic and anxiety ridden hours of my life were this Sunday, watching Yellow Jackets and then Euphoria.
Oh my God, I can't. See, like, I'm gonna need to space it out with some like Emily in Paris and like Singles Inferno or whatever. Like, I need some like mindless, just frivolous TV, because first of all, with Yellow Jackets, I'm like, the layers of anxiety, I'm like, it totally couldn't just be like right here. It couldn't just be the crash. Totally. Why'd you have to make this cute little black boy like creepy?
Oh, totally. Exactly. And
like, can you not?
Like, are you going to eat a baby? Are we about to watch a baby be eaten? Like, I don't know if television is ready for baby eating.
Oh my God, is that okay? We're only on like episode 3. If that's like in the future, I can't.
Okay, it is in the future. I don't want to spoil anything, but like the Reddit. So the great thing about Yellow Jackets is that Reddit is rampant with theories of what could have happened, what will happen. And I think one of the smartest things the show did is, you know, like from the like the core four who's alive, right? But then there's certain characters that you're like, are they dead?
They could be alive.
They could be alive. Right. They're just not here. And it kind of lets you, your mind think like, oh, who would play this character if she was still alive as an adult? So it's really, really cool.
And they did such a wonderful job with the casting.
I follow literally like all 350 cast members on Instagram. I'm totally obsessed. God. They're incredible.
It's so stressful. And like, this better be worth it at the end.
And it's so interesting because usually there's like a paranormal, like almost alien type theme within the show that I'm usually never – that stuff doesn't scare me. I'm never like, ooh, okay, like the witches are going to come and eat me alive or whatever. But tapped onto the fact that they're like stranded in the woods. They're teenage girls, which are the scariest species known to mankind.
Yeah.
There's going to be – like, they're, boy drama. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many facets of anxiety to the show.
And then they have to, like, layer it on with, like, the present. You know, as adults, all of the trauma and PTSD and then the relationships there.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It's just so much. Matt was like, he's so funny. He's like, I just hate shows like this that, like, take the joy out of being in nature. Like, that's okay. What you're thinking about?
Okay, little like that, Aquarian. Like,
Yeah. The fact that, like, people aren't going to maybe go to the wilderness or to the woods because they're scared that someone's going to eat them. But truly, it is a very disturbing show. But we're in it, and now we have to finish it because, you know, it's going to – the imagination of not know, you know, it's like that's going to kill us if we don't know what's going to happen. So we're going to continue on.
Thankfully, you're not active on Twitter, so nothing will be spoiled for you.
Yeah, no, that's also why we're like, we need to get through it because I don't want any spoilers. But I need to also pace myself. Otherwise, yes. I'm really going to be terrified.
I muted the word Yellow Jackets on Twitter, so I would not be spoiled.
Oh, smart.
And the finale is coming up next Sunday, so you have to get going.
Okay, we got some time. Okay. Yes, okay. Got it.
So, yeah, anxiety. There's, like, a line in the Yellow Jackets, like, most recent episode where it's like, we're out of Xanax. I'm like, yeah, same. I've never had a prescription, but I need one.
Could use one.
Specifically for Sunday nights. So, Sarah...
Yes.
I want to know, and this prompt is brought to you by the Glamgelinos.
Speaking of anxiety.
The most painful beauty treatment you've ever received.
Speaking of anxiety, when I was in high school, I used to get my eyebrows threaded because that was like the cool thing to do. Like they were like, don't get your brows waxed. It's going to pull on your skin. You know, your eyebrows are going to droop. And then my sisters used to get their eyebrows threaded. So naturally, like whatever my sisters did, I would do. And it was just like so painful. And I didn't understand why I had to do it. But I was like, I'm just going to do it. And then I did it throughout college, and then finally I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back to waxing and see, you know, what that's all about. And then I was like, I don't even know why the hell I was even threading for so long because it was just not worth the pain. You would just, like, cry tears, you know, with the string knotting, your little hairs yanking it out, the woman's face coming towards you and just having so much anxiety. You know, the moment that it would just be the little hair yanked out of your eyebrow. It was just not worth it. So that was one for sure. Did you ever thread your brows?
Girl, yes. And it's like, I think a rite of passage in high school. It's like someone tells you, oh, don't wax, thread. And the thing with waxing for me is it always left my skin in a full breakout afterwards. Mm-hmm. And so I was really looking for an alternative so that I could get rid of my hairy ass face. But then also, you know, not...
Oh my God, did you like have them thread your face?
So I remember one time I went and I got my eyebrows and my upper lip threaded because my upper lip hair was truly a huge part of my high school experience. It was horrifying. I always had like a really... And when I say upper lip hair, I mean thick.
Mustache.
It was a mustache. No. It wasn't necessarily dark, but it was so thick, it just was not, it wasn't like peach fuzz.
We talked about this, right? Like some boy teased me for my mustache in middle school.
Same.
And it was like the most traumatized, like I can remember the moment. I like know what this fucker's face looks like in my head. Never saw him again or thought about him. But you know what I mean? It's like these like core memory from like Inside Out. Like, as it happened, like, the ball, like,
I'm like,
rolls.
I really need the fucking ball on that to drop and die like, because the flashbacks.
To go where Bing Bong goes. Just, like, take it with you. But anyway, it was, like, a problem, too, which is why I also got my upper lip threaded in high school, too.
And when I did my upper lip, because I was thinking, you know what, waxing is what's causing these pustules or whatever. I wasn't thinking like, oh, it's actually the act of like the hair coming out of the pore. I was thinking it was the method. So, of course, I go get threaded. I have tears streaming down my face. It was by far the way more painful than getting waxed. And then I had pustules. Literally, I remember crying. Like, I had a boyfriend at the time, and I refused to see him. And he was like, Kirby, just let me come over. And I'm like, no, I'm hideous. Because, like, it wasn't just, like, raised red bumps. It was, like, green, yellow pus on top of the skin. Like, it was clearly, like, a bacterial thing. Like, there was something going on.
That never happened to me. That sounds awful.
No, that's why I couldn't. I was like, no. So that's why I went to shaving. Because it was the only thing that got rid of my hair without irritating my skin at all.
Yep.
You know?
And look at us now.
Look at us now.
Still shaving, and everyone's like, who's laughing now?
Not me. I'm freaking loving shaving my face. Shave for freaking 15 years at this point. Holla.
I'm saying we're laughing at them, these people that are still threading, because all you need to do is get yourself a dermaplane tool and do it at home, guys.
Wait.
A tinkle razor.
Though. I know some of my friends who have like really thick, black, coarse hair on their face. Yeah. They prefer threading or I think it maybe like makes it look less dark when it grows back. Because of the way it comes out of the pore.
Yeah, I had a lot of my Persian girlfriends used to get threaded.
Yes, and like, but some of my girlfriends would do their hairlines.
Yeah.
I know Kim Kardashian had her hairline lasered like way back in the day.
Yeah.
I wonder if she still has to laser it.
Probably.
Because laser hair removal should be a whole episode in itself, but like it's not a permanent thing. So
we're going to have to do that.
What else?
I also just have to add, when I got the PRP injections in my neck, even though they didn't numb my neck. That was painful. That was painful.
Yeah, I'm all about numbing. So the Glamgelinos were like microneedling by far, and laser hair removal were the most painful for them. Laser hair removal is uncomfortable for me, but it's never painful. And I don't know if it's because Sev uses the laser that blows the cool air on the body as they do it. But honestly, it just feels like a little rubber band snap, but barely. And I thank God every day they have like the cooling air on top, because I know I probably wouldn't be able to handle without it. But microneedling, I did a video at Pop Sugar, I think it was 2017. If you guys want to look it up, it's like I bled for beauty or something like that. And they did not numb me. And I honestly think it's sadistic if you go in and don't ask for numbing, because they're shoving needles into your bone on your forehead.
The forehead is the worst.
Is the worst. It is the absolute worst. You have to get numbed. Then I went and did the Vivace RF microneedling, which is the radio frequency and microneedling.
Yeah.
In the group, people said that was the worst for them pain-wise. And obviously, like, radio frequency is not, I mean, it's for me, it's not painful, but it's not like a walk in the park either.
Yeah.
Combining that with microneedling, I'm like, you have to get numbed. Jill, who represents Vivace, who is awesome, she's like, girl, you're going to need to go in an hour before your actual appointment to start getting numbed. She's like, I would numb at least 45 minutes. And I numbed my face and my neck. And so when they actually did the treatment, I was good. Like, I did not feel
the numbing. The numbing is so weird, though.
Oh, it is.
Because you're like trying to touch your face. Then you're like, do I feel this? Am I here? But it definitely is necessary. I remember one of the first times I got microneedled was with Carrie Benjamin.
Oh.
And it's just like.
She did the rolling.
Like, you know. Yeah. Yeah. She does the roller. And that, even that was like painful for me. Because it was like, you know, obviously she doesn't numb. And it was like right after she does like her little peel.
Yep.
I was like, oh, this is.
It's a lot.
I'm like, why am I crying?
When I use my Stax skincare one at home, I get tears in my eyes. It's just. Yeah.
And that's why you have to go get microneedled professionally, because you're never going to. Go as deep at home by yourself, unless you are like truly like to, what do you call it?
Torture yourself.
Torture yourself with needles. 100%. By the way, I have this like little, shaved myself and then I cut myself recently.
Oh, I've done that.
Good times.
I always have a little nick somewhere on my face.
Yeah. Still worth it.
Still worth it. Get numbed. That's my PSA. Just get numbed. Okay. Some quick housekeeping before we get into what's on your face. We are doing a Friday episode focused on you. One thing that you said on Instagram is that you wanted more episodes where Glamgelinos could call in and give recommendations for products. We did that last year and loved it. So please call our hotline, 424-341-0426. Include your name, where you're from, and a 1 to 2 minute review of a product that you've been loving or has changed your life. And you may be featured in Friday's episode.
I love nothing more than listening to the voicemails from our Glamgelinos.
Same.
So please share, even if it's like a 30 second review.
Yep.
We love it. We want to hear it. Okay. And then we would like to address our merch. First of all, thank you to everyone who supported us and bought a sweatshirt or a hat. We did not anticipate so many of you wanting to purchase merch, which is so wonderful. So again, thank you. However, not sure if you've seen or heard, there are some supply chain issues happening around the world. And so we had to pause orders as of now. However, those of you who placed orders successfully should be receiving your merch soon, if not have already received it, which is great. And please take some photos, tag us, let us know you got them. We're so excited to see how you guys are styling and wearing your merch. There may have been some of you who tried to place an order and then were refunded. So sorry about that. Again, we will let you know as soon as we have more inventory, but we just like did not think that so many of you wanted to wear Los Angeles merch.
Yep. So that will be happening. And we closed down the store for the time being just so that y'all couldn't go on and order and then have to get refunded. But our next merch drop, we promise things will run way more smoothly. We're figuring it out as we go. And we're going to have some new options for merch too. So
Yay.
Let's dive into what's on your face. Sarah, if you're somebody with an Instagram account, you saw that Chanel launched something new this week. So Sarah, give us the tea.
Last November, as you guys know, I went to Paris with Chanel, and it was for this new launch that they had. They do not launch new ranges, new collections, new lines very often. So this was a really big deal for them.
Okay.
But on January 5th, they launched number one de Chanel. You have to say numero un de Chanel. You can't just say Chanel number one.
Numero un. I could never be French. I am not good at French. It's really hard.
And it's so hard. I do love the name. I feel like it's fun. Numero un de Chanel. So this is their first foray into eco-conscious skincare and makeup. They have committed to being more sustainable in the way that they are sourcing ingredients and also in packaging. And this was a really big challenge for them. I think they worked on this project for maybe 10 years or more. So Chanel's always prided themselves in using the camellia flower, which is like very iconic to their house. It is a flower that Gabrielle Chanel, loved and cherished, and she used it, in all of her fashion that she created for the house. But it actually happened to be a flower that was really it had really great skincare benefits. The camellia flower is one that like blooms even in the winter in the snow, and it doesn't freeze. So it has these really great hydrating properties. But when you think of Chanel, you think of like the white flower, right?
Of course, yeah.
The white camellia flower. Yep. So in the last 5-10 years, one of their scientists discovered that the czar, which is the crimson red camellia flower, had even more incredible anti-aging properties. And so they really focused on trying to extract like all of the amazing benefits of this flower and to inject it into this entire range. And so the formulations of this range that has both skincare and a couple makeup products, they're made with up to 97% natural ingredients. And I think like for one particular product, there's like up to 67% camellia extract. So the flower is like very much the czar crimson red camellia is very much a part of this range, which is why all of the packaging is this beautiful red, the same shade as the flower. So the range has 9 SKUs. It has a face cream, which has a refillable jar in it, which is part of their, you know, sustainable packaging initiative. There's an eye cream, a serum and mist, a fragrance mist, a tinted lip and cheek balm, a foundation, a lotion, and a powder to form cleanser. And I have been trying the face cream and the serum for the past month and a half, and I really, really like it. It definitely, and no shade to the Chanel fam, obviously, and to Chanel skincare, but like I think that the Chanel skincare range previous to this has really had a specific demographic in like, it's like an older demographic that likes that strong fragrance. Mm-hmm. And this range has really dialed back because I think it has more of those natural ingredients. It's a very, very light fragrance that is almost just like it's not even there, but it's always a very important goal for Chanel to have the experience still feel really luxe. And so it's still a really beautiful experience to apply the cream and the serum, but it definitely feels different. It feels lighter, it feels more modern. It's definitely a fresh approach, and you can smell that like camellia fragrance, but it doesn't feel synthetic. It doesn't smell synthetic.
Okay.
Or feel synthetic.
Okay.
So it feels really, really nice. The products are very, very hydrating, but there's one product that I would love to call out from the range that is my current wife, and it is this lip and cheek balm. It's a tinted lip and cheek balm.
Very chic.
I think they make very chic. There are 6 different shades available, and the camellia extract is in this, so it is really nourishing. It says that it plumps as well. But what I love about it is, well, one, that you can use it for both your lip and cheek, which is obviously not like groundbreaking or anything. But I feel like often with tinted lip balms, they can feel really thick and sticky, and on my lips just, it doesn't look good, and it feels like it's like peeling or clumping.
Okay.
And this one actually does really feel like a balm, but the color is, the payoff is really, really good. So this is shade Lively Rosewood. Anything rosewood is like my favorite, but I'm going to apply it.
Okay. Whoa, okay.
Yeah, so it looks like a lip stain.
Yeah, it does. It looks like a lip stain, 100%.
But it feels like a balm, which is great for, you know, me, obviously, with my dry-ass lips and my love of color.
Yes.
So,
that's really pretty.
It's buildable. It's really pretty. And then on the cheeks, it makes a really nice, natural cheek
stain. That's a great blush, yes.
Yeah, and it also, too, with the lip and cheek balms, like, sometimes you feel like it only works, or it works better as a lip, not the cheek.
Yeah.
But I actually really like the cheek, too, because it's not too glossy, and it blends really well, and it feels good. Like,
wow.
It feels like a hydrating cheek tint.
You'll have to take a picture of your face after this so you can post it.
But I've been using this one all weekend. I haven't tried the other shades because I just like naturally gravitated to this one. But they're expensive. They're $45. If you got an Ulta gift card, treat yourself.
They're at Ulta,
treat
peeps.
Yourself.
They're at Ulta. Treat yourself.
Trying to kill time with Zoe on Friday. We stopped by the Ulta to see what was up. And there was like, all the Chanel. And I totally forgot. Like, I mean, I saw, you know, your Instagram that wonderful Ulta in Texas had that big ass Chanel counter or whatever. But like, I was like, I don't think our Ulta has one. And it definitely doesn't. It's like very small. But I was like, oh, I could get Chanel here. I totally forgot.
That's so crazy. Because remember when they first launched at Ulta, it was online only.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see them. I think it's super interesting for Chanel to align with Ulta.
So, so interesting to me because, I mean, I love Ulta.
Same.
It was so much fun going in there.
Same.
So many great products. But it's not, I'll just say that. It's just like an interesting partnership. But
agreed. Agreed.
I love it.
Well,
we had a ball.
The balm is beautiful. It kind of, I feel like this is one of those like really nice gifts you could give to someone.
Totally.
It's like $45. So definitely, you know, for a lip and cheek tint, like an investment. But when people open up the Chanel box and see the Chanel logo on top of the balm, it's just like a really nice thing to give as a gift. Yeah.
It's really cute.
It's really, really pretty.
It's really pretty. And I will say, too, for this range and hopefully going forward for all the rest of their Chanel products, they're really trying to focus on, like, lessening their carbon footprint, obviously. So there's no more, like, the packaging's still really pretty, but no more cellophane, no more paper pamphlets. It's all QR codes and glass. It's still really, really nice. So, yeah, check it out.
I'm actually kind of surprised at the price point on these skincare products. Like, the Revitalizing Serum is $120, or it says starting from. And then the Revitalizing Foundation is $70. I don't know why. Maybe I'm losing my mind. I just assumed that everything would be at least $100 or more. So I'm kind of, like, shook that they
– Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at this eye – what is it? Oh, the
eye cream.
Yeah, the eye cream, $75. I don't know. Maybe I'm losing touch with reality. I mean, $75 is expensive, y'all. I'm not saying it's not.
That's because we've been talking about, like, the Augustinus Botters and, like, Eighth Day.
Oh, my God, Eighth Day. Someone's finally, y'all bet your bottom dollar. You knew that I was not buying Eighth Day. Y'all knew straight up Kirby is not buying Eighth Day. And I remember, like, I posted about my Instagram story and someone wrote me and they were like, hey, we represent them. Do you want it? I'm like, yeah, sure. For free? Great. Send it to me. Looking forward to trying it out. But
it's so hard because it's like I'm using it and I like the way that my skin looks, but I don't know. I'm curious to see what you think. And maybe I just need to pay more attention, but I'm like, is it really worth the what is it, $400?
Y'all, I just want to, this may end the podcast right now. This may just end our podcast, like, forever. We may not have another episode when I say this. But I'm, like, really starting to, like, side-eye a lot of the beauty industry. Because it's, like, we really are putting a lot of faith in products that they are using the correct amounts of an ingredient to actually be effective. But, like, you can't go onto a website usually and see what percentage of an ingredient is in a product. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, just because a product has, like, 20% of something doesn't mean it's more or less effective than anything else, right? I just feel like there's – I was talking to Renee Rouleau about this. I'm like, how do we know if a product's actually effective? And she's like, that's, like, the million-dollar question. You either have to, like, have a third-party, like, clinical – not just like a self-assessment from like 78 people like in somebody's office that just woke up and said, oh, yeah, I feel like this made my skin look better or whatever.
Right. And it's like you need to make sure that those people are not using anything else.
And also like don't work for the company that you are. You know what I mean? Like
and then there's also so many factors, too. It's like how much does this person sleep? How much water are they drinking? Do they work out? Where do they live? Do they wash their face in the morning? You know what I mean?
Yes, of course, like we talk about the need of like using ingredients that are really well researched and have a lot of studies behind them, like vitamin C and retinol. But then there's like ingredients like bakuchiol, which are promising, but just they don't have a ton of studies behind them. But it's like, does that render them useless? No, but we need more study. You know what I mean? It's just like the chicken or the egg. Anyways,
right.
I really got in my feels about this whole conversation this weekend because I'm like, what am I doing with my life? Like, am I actually contributing to people purchasing things that they don't need?
I mean, we make it very clear here on the pod that we are sharing our personal reviews and, you know, our personal takes on trends and things, but you should never leave here thinking I absolutely need to buy that because Kirby and Sarah said you need to.
That's true.
Yes, like the Dyson Airwrap has changed my life.
You don't need it.
You don't need it.
You don't need it.
I could also blow dry my hair with a roller brush and that's fine too, you know?
Yeah, I agree. The Dyson is having a resurgence on TikTok at the moment.
It really is.
I'm like, wow, Welcome.
What is it? The PS5 for women?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, you can't get it now. You can't purchase it if you're trying to, apparently.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Sold out everywhere.
Supply chain issues.
Love that wife. I like Chanel products, so I'm into it. Let's go to a break. We'll be back. We got Cher and some beauty news today. Icon.
Iconic.
Cher. Okay, let me tell you a story. When I found out that Cher was doing this, the email I sent back, my fingers were on fire. I was typing so quickly. I was like, we absolutely need to have a moment with Cher. They told me they did not have her available. But then I saw like 800 articles with Cher readily available. So Los Angeles did not get access to Cher.
That's
y'all
okay.
Can blame Mac for that.
We didn't eat Refinery. We only had access to Sweetie, which was great, obviously. But Cher's a busy woman.
Listen, Cher, come share your wisdom. So Cher and Saweetie partnered with MAC Cosmetics, and I think this is actually kind of brilliant. I understand why they partnered them together, but Cher would have been enough for me, I'm going to be honest. So it says...
Truly. Is it because the youngins, they don't know?
I mean, I would assume that Cher is a them, that everybody knows who Cher is, but like, I mean, I guess you have to have someone like from Gen Z that... They understand. So MAC, they have this new campaign. It's called Challenge Accepted. And it's okay. This is what InStyle reports. On January 4th, the brand is asking consumers to put their products to the test against sweat, water, heat, cold temperatures, bad weather, really anything. They promise that their highly pigmented, quality, transfer resistant, and waterproof formulas will last against all the elements. Okay, so I think this is really interesting because, yes, MAC does drops based on certain, like, themes or certain collaborations that they do. So they do often have, like, limited edition new products that come out. But I think it's really important to, like, revitalize the staples within your brand already and not, like... I mean, because brands... MAC's been around for 30-something years, right?
Yeah, and if it's like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know what I mean? There's so many products that are so incredible that, like, that the younger generation doesn't even know about, you know?
Totally. So, like, reinvigorate the brand and instead of making something that potentially people won't use, just, like, use the products that people are buying in droves, right?
Yeah, well, especially, like, I can't even imagine how many SKUs MAC has. There's no need.
Totally. So they got Cher and Saweetie to come together and do this campaign. And I freaking love this. It was like a video that they did with Cher. And it was like Cher walking. It looks like they're on like a lot, Paramount, something. And she turns around and looks at the camera and she's like, I love lasting forever.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cher.
So how did you do it, Cher?
I'm like this lipstick. When I'm on, I'm on.
You are always on. Smack that, Mac.
Saweetie, are you ready?
Challenge accepted.
I love lasting forever.
And I'm like, fucking brilliant. Like, is that how you created this entire campaign? Like, our products last forever. Who else lasts Cher. Forever? It's like, duh. Cher. Obvi.
Yeah,
like,
it's really smart.
Queen of queens. Armenian queen. We love her. So, I use so many MAC products. It's everything lasts. Lip gloss was one of the first lip glosses I ever used in my life.
Yep.
Right? Iconic. It was like the pink with the sparkle. Ruby Woo. I literally have so many MAC collections, limited edition, in my drawer that I've saved for years because I refuse to get rid of them. I mean, designer collaborations, the Rihanna, the Ariana Grande, Viva Glam.
Patrick Star.
So many. I was literally just using the Patrick Star powder the other day because I still have one and it's so good.
I loved their Blackpink, their collaboration with Lisa that came out. I talk about fingers firing after I got that email. I was like, by the way, is Lisa available for an interview?
Right.
They're like, we have absolutely no access to Lisa. So I was like, okay.
Great.
Thanks for the mailer.
Appreciate it. They make some of the best mascaras. I have the little false lash travel size, and I just got a new extended play Giga Black Lash, which is truly like one of my top two.
Yep.
It's so good. It's so good. Be on the lookout for Cher and Sweetie and Mac stores on their website. More Cher. Give us more Cher.
More Cher in 2022.
Please. Okay, Sarah, I wanted to bring this up. So the girlies over on Twitter are a little chaotic, okay? Like, there's a lot of things that I see on Twitter that I'm like, y'all, why are you making this such a big deal? Yeah. Like, who cares? But I saw this, and I'm like, oh, ooh, okay. Because I already have feelings, so I wanted to ask you. So I have a link here. It says, how do we feel about a $300 hyaluronic acid serum? And if you click it, it takes you to Makeup for Women of Color, who is a superstar on Twitter. And she's actually an esthetician. And she's, I think, 20 years old. She's a baby. But she is always dropping skincare advice. And she posted this screenshot at Sephora, or of a Sephora website. And it's from Dr. Barbara Sturm. And it says, darker skin tones hyaluronic acid serum. And it is $300.
Why?
What are your initial thoughts?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Exactly. I'm sure that there is reasoning, and I'd love to learn more about the formulation, but why does there need to be a specific hyaluronic acid serum for a darker skin tone?
You should be buying and creating skincare based on skin type, not skin color. Like, and I know that it's different for things like hyperpigmentation. For instance, like if you have hyperpigmentation, if you have a deep skin tone, you don't want hydroquinone because you don't want to potentially bleach your skin in certain spots, right? So this started an entire conversation about marketing claims on Twitter.
I'm clicking around on Dr. Sturm's website because I was like, how much is the just hyaluronic serum standard one that she has?
$300. They're both $300, right?
That's very steep.
Okay. So this is interesting. So basically everybody's dragging Barbara Sturm on Twitter right now. They're like, the price is hella steep, but there's an interesting episode of the Naked Beauty podcast with our friend Brooke where Dr. Sturm explains the formulation of this line for darker skin tones. And I don't know. I feel like I think because Dr. Sturm does a really good job of getting placement on things like Go to Bed with Me or like the Vogue makeup videos and like constantly sends product to celebrities to post about, people are like, oh my God, I need to try her products. And to be completely honest, I have tried like almost all of her products and I do not understand the hype. I just do not get it. And for me personally, there is no chance in hell, unless I win the fucking lottery, that I'm buying a $300 hyaluronic acid serum.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for me, when I see something like darker skin tones hyaluronic acid serum, I truly feel like this is a marketing thing where now people that have darker skin tones are going, wait, if there's a hyaluronic acid serum made for my darker skin tone, should I be having a vitamin C that's made for my darker skin tone? Should I be using a cleanser that's made for my... It's just going to keep perpetuating this narrative that, like, because you have a darker skin, you need a specific type of product. And I think it's really effed up, especially because you're charging $300 for this. Yep. It's not like a $20 product where it's kind of like, okay, it says it's for darker skin tones, I'll give it a go. It's like, somebody's going to think, oh my God, I absolutely need this because I have dark skin or deep skin and I need to use this.
Totally.
And it's $300.
I know. We actually have a story that's coming out on Refinery from a freelancer who is making this argument that, like, this trend of creating skincare specifically for, you know, deeper skin tones or, you know, different communities, while it's important to, like, address these communities, especially those that have not been served by the beauty industry previously, there's so much fear-mongering that's happening, like, similar mm-hmm. to, like, all of the greenwashing and things like that, where they're saying that, like, if you don't use this specific product for your skin tone, like, you are doing it wrong, and this is why you need to shell out this much cash, when really that's, like, that's not it. You know?
Okay, so I don't know when this particular hyaluronic acid launch, you know, came from Dr. Sturm. I do not think that was an original launch, in my humble opinion. Maybe if I'm wrong, somebody please correct me. But, like, is she capitalizing off the fact that, like, Edom launched their one product, which is, you know, the conversation around skincare for melanated skin? Because, like, that's a brand that was launched by two people of color, right? And the chemists that come up with the formulations are women of color. And the dermatologists that vet them are also women of color.
Yep.
So I feel like that is an important thing. The vetting process, the formulation process, like, Edom makes sense to me. And their Milk Marvel The Milk Marvel Dark Spot Serum is their only launch to date. And it was created to, quote, enhance and embrace melanated skin while erasing pigmentation without things like
that makes sense.
Hydroquinone and all that stuff. So that makes sense to me, right? But, like,
a hyaluronic acid, though?
Thank you.
Like,
yes.
How does that matter? Why does the skin color matter for that?
The math is not mathing.
Yeah. And maybe I want to listen to Brooke Devard's interview with Dr. Sturm to see what she has to say, because I think Brooke is a fan.
I think Brooke is a fan. I would also just suggest y'all go listen to the Breaking Beauty episode with Dr. Sturm. Sips tea.
Literally sips tea.
Have fun with that. I'm glad we got to discuss that, because I was like, I'm dying to know what Sarah thinks about this whole escapade.
Okay. Ooh, I'm excited about this, Kirby. You got some BTS of Donny Davies makeup trailer on the set of Euphoria. How fucking exciting. Please let us know what it was like, what you saw, and tell us more about this article that you wrote for Allure.
Okay, so this was so cool. In November, it was 6 days before they wrapped the show, I got to go to set. And they invited Allure as the first and only media outlet to come and see the makeup trailer. And I didn't really know what to expect. You know, I was going thinking, okay, I definitely want to see all the products that Donny uses. But I felt like I got a really good sense of where the show is going this season. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of like, you know, when people are speculating what's going to happen, I'm like, oh, I kind of have, like, some intel.
Yeah.
Her trailer is, think of Euphoria makeup, but, like, in a living space.
Just sounds so fun.
It's bright. It's very colorful. There's rainbows everywhere. There's tons and tons and tons of inspiration all over the mirrors. And she kind of just showed me around and like, I don't know how this woman is so organized to know, like, where everything is and how to take everything. But it was a really cool look at the second season. So what you're going to notice immediately is, and they talk about this after the first episode of Euphoria, everything was shot on film versus the first season. And if first season was, like, very modern and, like, of the times, season two is more of, like, a flashback you had from high school. It's a lot darker. It's a lot grittier. It feels more vintage and more like a memory versus kind of being like, oh, I feel like I'm with them at a current party or, you know, wearing this, like, very, you know, eccentric makeup. The makeup's also going to be pared back a lot. Donnie said that a couple of days before filming season two, you know, they were on such a long hiatus because of COVID that she had been like creating all these really cool, fantastical looks for season two. And then Sam Levinson, the director, was like, yeah, we're not doing the same Euphoria makeup. It's not Euphoria. It's Euphoria makeup, but it's more refined. Yeah. It's more polished. It's more like you can see they're wearing stuff, but it takes a close-up for you to really see anything. Mm-hmm. Where first season, it's like you saw neon pigment and these mm-hmm. extreme wings and things like that and like tons of glitter. There's going to be way less glitter. There is going to be some awesome looks coming from Cassie and Lexi this season. You know, last season, like, you know, Cassie was just like the younger kid sister. She's going to have like a whole renaissance this season. She's played by Sydney Sweeney. Lexi, played by Maude Apatow. She's going to have a lot more screen time this season, I think, based on the beauty looks that they're giving her.
Oh, yay. I love her.
Yeah. Yeah, she's great. Kat and Maddie will still be like the HBICs in terms of makeup. And one really interesting thing I thought that Donnie shared with me is, so Alexa Demi, who plays Maddie, was the most opinionated on how she wanted Maddie's makeup to look. And so they, instead of Maddie having a lot of like rhinestones and glitter and neons and things like that, it's more monochrome, but it's still big. So they made this, they took a sheet of paper with her face on it, like a face map. And they created like four different styles of winged liner. And every day when she would go in, she would just point to which one she wanted for her look. And they said she took the longest in the makeup chair. I asked about Zendaya, obvi. And I was like, what is Zendaya doing? And they're like, for this season, she's not doing much makeup.
Yeah.
But they said that a callback to Mac is Zendaya suggested Mac face and body for her. So if you're wanting like that really natural skin look, that's what Zendaya is wearing. They also use Chantecaille Future Skin and Face Atelier to get this no makeup makeup look. And and it really is, it really had to be no makeup makeup because Sam Levinson, the director, inside the trailer, he had printed out these signs that said, no foundation.
Yeah.
Your skin will look great. Trust me, Sam.
Yeah.
Like he was like adamant that he didn't want people to look like they were made up, especially since they were being captured on film.
Yeah.
And that also influenced, Donnie told us on the podcast that they do not use powder.
Yeah.
And that's still true. No powder whatsoever. Still using Nano Blur from Indeed Labs to kind of like take away shine. But really, I think like the most intricate and interesting beauty looks, maybe the nails. They had a bunch of press on nails and it's, did you watch the first episode yet?
Not yet. Remember, I need to like take a second between.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just kidding.
Yes. Okay. No.
No, I'm so excited. I'm like, and I want to watch it just because of like, obviously Donnie and the makeup looks. But yes, tell me more about the nails.
Well, the nails, there is a very specific scene with Sydney Sweeney where you will see this those press-on nails. And they are, there's rhinestones on the nails. There's some, like, 70s designs that she created. Like, she was on set, like, doing last looks, putting nails on the cast. So I think the nails will be a really big feature this season. And also, a lot of lower lash looks.
Yes.
Donnie said, like, there's a lot of Twiggy inspiration. So you'll see that either through, like, designs or through like shimmer. You know, Hunter, who plays Jules, has her like inner corner wing instead of outer corner wing. And then Kat will have more, I think, of the visually bold looks. Like the first episode is set on New Year's Eve and she has like a color blocked eye of yellow and green. So there's just so much. There's so much. And there's actually we're doing multiple stories for Allure.
Amazing.
So there will be more as the season comes out, which is so exciting. But check out the story. There are some beautiful photos that Sean, their photographer, took. And it's just like a playground. And I think they're actually posting an Instagram story of the tour on Allure sometime this week. So y'all can check out that whole experience on their Instagram account. And oh, last thing, all of the products that she like keeps in her bags to go to set are also on, in the Allure story. So
amazing.
If you're like, what's the foundation again?
Yeah.
They're all there.
This is so cool. And I can't believe that she was like so pregnant.
She gave birth literally a month later. I was dying. I'm like, how are you still shooting? Like, they were on location the day before I got there. And I'm like, you're like, what? They have this golf cart literally so that she can like drive to and from set. I mean, like, that's normal.
Yeah.
But it says like pregnant person mover. And it's just like decorated with streamers. Like, it's just so Donnie.
I mean, the timing of it. Like, what if she had gotten, you know, pregnant earlier, then she would have like missed the end. Crazy. I mean, her team is very talented as well, but like, thought. And that also, if you have not listened to our episode with Donnie, please go back and do that, because she's so incredible. Well, I can't wait to see what other stories you come out with. This is so cool.
All right, that is our Tuesday show.
So much good beauty news.
I know. I get excited for beauty news. I get really bummed when there's not a lot to talk about.
I know. It was kind of, you know, end of year is hard. Nothing really happening, but starting 2022 with a bang.
With a bang. Again, if y'all want to be featured in Friday's episode, call the hotline and leave us your WOIF. Try to limit it to maybe, you know, a minute or two. And yeah, be sure to include your name, where you're from, and of course, the name of the product, so that we can feature you on the pod. And we'll talk to you then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.